Texas. I'm going down behind the sun. I'm gonna ask you, good Lord, what evil have I done?
Authentic snap, crackle and pop of a 78. That's Big Bill Brunsey with Jazz Gillam on harmonica and Washboard Sam at the start of the 1940s. And now, here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for music from the London Jazz Festival with Julian Joseph and Jazz Lineup.
Hello, the melodic bass playing of today's special guest and current BBC Radio 3 New Generation jazz artist Misha Mulov-Abado and his group. That's a taste of a performance we'll hear in full later on the show. I'll also be previewing some highlights at this year's EFG London Jazz Festival. Here's one of the artists appearing this weekend. It's the energetic British Asian clarinetist Arun Ghosh from his much-anticipated new album, But Where Are You Really From? This is the opening track, Snakebite with Bacchus. Out now on Komoki Records, that's clarinetist and bandleader Arun Ghosh and his high-octane composition Snakebite with Bacchus. You can see Arun at the London Jazz Festival when he plays as part of a triple bill with The Soothsayers and Loki Terror. That's at Rich Mix tonight. Well, exciting news now for jazz fans. This week, Jamie Cullum launched a brand new digital jazz service from BBC Music on his Radio 2 show. It's a brand new digital destination for jazz lovers, BBC Music Jazz. Featuring the very best of the archive, the latest jazz programs, including interviews and sessions, essentially a one-stop digital destination for everything jazz on the BBC, from television, radio and online, including Radio 3 shows like Jazz Lineup and Jazz Now, to six music shows including Giles Peterson and Craig Charles. Also, look out for some London Jazz Festival performances. And definitely worth checking out is Jamie Cullum's interview and session with Afrobeat legend Tony Allen. And my Jazz Lineup session with Bowie collaborator Donny McCaslin is up there too. Check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Well, it gives me great pleasure to welcome our special guest, bassist and composer, who was just recently announced as the brand new BBC Radio 3 New Generation Jazz Artist. He is Misha Mulov-Abado. Welcome, Misha, and congratulations on your accolade. It's great to have you on the show. How does it feel to be the New Generation Jazz Artist?
Oh, it feels great. It's come at a really fantastic time, I think. I've just finishing the release of my second album, and I'm kind of at a point in my career where I'm not really sure where things are going, and so it feels really good to have an opportunity to really try some new things out over the next 2 years and have a bit more exposure, but in a slightly different way from just recording and releasing music on a record label, for instance. And I'm really looking forward to working with all the different musicians that I'm going to be working with over the next 2 years.
Wonderful. Well, we'll be hearing your performance recorded for us at last year's festival. I'm talking about the London Jazz Festival. It has a great energy, right?
Yeah, I've had really amazing times every single year going to see some really, really amazing gigs. And also played at quite a few sets pretty much every year. And it's always been a huge leg up, actually, for all the different bands that I've been involved in. It's really great to have a time of year where you know that you're going to get a good audience for things, and just there's a lot of energy and the great variety of different types of concerts, from the formal sit down things, the kind of family friendly barbican foyer type things where anyone can just come. The things involving audience participation, I think that's my favorite thing about it. It's just right. The huge variety.
Well, this year's London Jazz Festival runs from November 10th to the 19th, with emerging artists like vocalist and pianist Ollie Rockberger, saxophonist Rachel Cohen, keyboardists Robert Glasper, Corey Henry and Zoe Rahman, international UK-based band Phrenesis, superstar bassist Marcus Miller and living legend keyboardist and innovator Herbie Hancock are just a few of the bevy of musical delights appearing over the course of the festival. Last night, it was the 10th anniversary of the festival's signature opening night song extravaganza Jazz Voice, led by arranger and conductor Guy Barker, with vocalists Angelique Kijo, Leanne Carroll, Misha Paris and Seal, to mention just a handful. Misha, I'm going to play something from a great violinist listed in the illustrious festival's lineup, playing with her Stradivarius in Rio project, Victoria Mulliver, a musician project that you're familiar with.
I'd say probably musician I'm most familiar with out of everyone in the world, because she's my mum. So that's a good start. And a project that I'm also very familiar with. My mum, Victoria, has been a classical violinist her entire life and made lots and lots of very well-received albums. But in the last 10, 20 years, she's been opening the box quite a lot and trying out lots of more kind of contemporary projects. So along with musicians like yourself, my stepdad Matthew Barley, the percussionist Paul Clavis, she's been doing projects based on, for instance, Russian folk music, this one, which is mainly Brazilian jazz. And yeah, it's that kind of whole open-minded side of my parents' music making has always been a huge inspiration for me. So, and it makes me very happy that she's branching out quite a lot and she's asked me to come and play a piece with her at this festival. And actually, this I think will be the first time we ever play together in public. It's something that we've been talking about for quite a while and that we will definitely be doing more of in the future.
So we're going to hear something from Victoria Mulliver, your mother, and your stepfather is also playing cello on this. Carioca Freitas is on guitar and Paul Clavis, as you mentioned,
that's right,
is playing drums and percussion. And this is the Jobim piece, Gingy.
Thank you.
The magnificent sound of violinist and bandleader Victoria Mulliver, who plays the London Jazz Festival on the 14th of November at Wimbledon Trinity United Reformed Church and on the 18th at St. John's Downshire Hill. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, and I'm very pleased to say I'm joined by my special guest, Misha Mulov-Abado. Well, we've spoken a little bit about your mum here, Misha. Let's talk about the musical household that you grew up in.
I think I've been around my mum practicing since before I was born. So basically my whole life until I started going to school, pretty much. Apparently I'd be able to recognise any violin piece at the age of two. Some pieces I actually don't even know now. I've completely forgotten them. But I would always be around my mum practicing and listening in on her rehearsals, her concerts, because it was just me and her for the first couple of years. And yeah, and that's had a huge effect on me because music really is like my first language. I'm hopeless at reading, writing and all the kind of other forms of communication, but listening to music is kind of my favourite thing.
You were talking about when you were growing up that it was just you and your mum for the first couple of years. You're very famously known for being the son of Claudio Abbado. What was his involvement in your life?
That's a good question. I hardly knew him, to be honest. I first met him when I was 12. And so until then, I just knew who he was. I was very, very aware of who he was and the fact that he was out of choice, not part of my life or my mum's life anymore. I think I saw him every couple of years or something after I was 12, and hardly very much at all. In a way, he was always much more of an inspiration in the sense that he would be an inspiration to quite a lot of people. What I mean by that is I'd get a lot of enjoyment out of listening to his recordings. Whenever I'd meet him, I didn't really get very much out of that, let's just say.
Yeah.
Although when I was 20, I remember going to see a concert of his in London with my mum, and we both went backstage afterwards, and it only occurred to me on the way to the backstage that this would be the first time I ever see my two parents in the same room together.
Wow.
And then it happened, and it kind of blew me away. I was like, my parents were actually together once. That's so weird. And they both were so happy to see each other. And from then, I started to get a bit closer to him, and I even started seeing a bit more of him in the following 2 years before he died. So I'm very, very grateful for that experience, actually.
Well, you're into your second album now, and that's been released. But your first album had one of your close friends and colleagues, Jacob Collier, who's since won two Grammys.
Yeah, indeed.
Are you guys still very much in touch? And
not very much. We write to each other from time to time, okay. Which is nice. He's a really lovely guy, actually, and I really appreciated just how much he put into my band when he was doing it. And particularly for the album recording, he had so many great ideas. And yeah, we just write to each other from time to time. So maybe occasionally I'll be listening to one of his tracks and I'll notice some clever little thing.
Yeah.
And I'll just text him saying, oh, you know that bit at the end of that song? I've just realised how you've gradually shifted a whole semitone or whatever. Or he'll send me a photo of something from the album recording. He's like, hey, remember this?
Right, great.
But not very much.
Well, we're going to go back to last year's Jazz Festival, London Jazz Festival, at the South Bank Centre. Now, this was sort of on the back of your first release. And do you remember the preparation for this concert that you came?
What I remember really clearly was that it was very unprepared. I had just got back from a two-week trip away, and so we generally don't need to rehearse that much as a band because we play so often. However, for this concert we were one man down because the trumpet player James Davison had a commitment already that he couldn't get out of, so we had to make do with just five of us rather than six of us,
right?
Which was fine because a lot of the pieces I write, well, actually some of them were pieces from my first album when it was just a quintet.
Yeah.
And some of them also just very easily adaptable.
Well, let's get into the first track. The first track we're going to hear is called Pure 100% Nunnery.
It's actually slightly ironic that we played this song on this gig where we didn't have the full lineup. So the piece came from this really silly story that I came up with one day that is about two nuns and a Ferrari driver, and they have a little love triangle. And basically what happens is the Ferrari driver nearly runs them over. They all get into a fight, and then suddenly one of the nuns, who happens to own an alto sax, runs off with the Ferrari driver, who happens to own a trumpet, and the other nun, the tenor sax playing nun, gets very angry about it. So if you were to hear the album version of this song, for instance, that would be made very clear by who's playing what instrument at which point. But then for this gig, we actually didn't have the Ferrari driver, so it doesn't actually make so much sense. But you have to just imagine what's going on. Basically, what happens is it starts off as a really chilled out little swing, little shuffle, and then it suddenly gets very loud when the argument starts, and then it breaks down into complete chaos. And then there's a really happy major ending where the two pair run off together while the tenor sax gets really angry.
Let's have a listen to the first piece you played at the Southbank Centre for the London Jazz Festival. Matthew Hurd and Sam Rapley are on saxophones. Liam Dunnicky is on piano. Scott Chapman is on drums. And my special guest, Misha Mullavabado, is on double bass. And this is pure 100% nunnery. pure 100% nunnery, recorded specially for Jazz Lineup, and we have the rest of that set by Misha and his band coming up later on the show. And Misha and I will be looking at highlights from the festival. And first up, the runaway superstar of this year's festival must be Herbie Hancock, whose show has been sold out for months, and I thought I'd pick something from his Umwandishi band, featuring the effervescent Buster Williams playing bass on this track, from his seminal concert at the Newport Jazz Festival in 1977. The concert featured him in three settings, the quintet with Freddie Hubbard taking the Miles Davis chair, his jazz funk group that gave us Headhunters and Hang Up Your Hang-Ups, and was his sound of the day, and his experimental sextet called the Mwandishi Band, formed in 1970. This is a piece called Toys, and Misha, were you familiar with this piece of music?
I have to admit I wasn't until a few days ago,
right.
But it's some pretty prolific bass playing there.
Definitely.
That made me very, very happy. I listened to it a few times, actually, just that opening few minutes,
and then
the rest of the song, of course. I have to admit I wasn't familiar with that before.
Have you ever had a chance to see him play live?
I have once, yeah, at the Montreux Jazz Festival. That was about 7 years ago now. I saw him at a show that Quincy Jones was presenting. And actually, yeah, he still kind of looked exactly the same in terms of the way he was playing, just like really calm, really chilled out, kind of understated in a certain way, which is always nice to see.
Well, let's have a listen to Herbie Hancock in 77, and this is Toys.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Herbie Hancock Sextet.
The Herbie Hancock Sextet in 77 and Toys with Eddie Henderson on trumpet, Benny Maupin on saxophone, Julian Priester on the trombone, Buster Williams on bass, and Billy Hart on the drums. And Herbie plays the London Jazz Festival with his quartet on November the 13th and 14th at the Barbican, with all tickets, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for Herbie, sold out. Now remember, I mentioned earlier a brand new digital destination, BBC Music Jazz, a one-stop destination for everything jazz at the BBC, from TV, radio and online. So remember to check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page. You're listening to the finest jazz here on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph. This is Jazz Lineup, and I'm joined by my special guest, BBC Radio 3's new generation jazz artist, Misha Mulov Abado. Now, Misha, are you familiar with the music of previous new generation jazz artists? Laura Jerd, the trumpeter, pianist Gwilym Simcock, saxophonist Shabaka Hutchings?
A little bit. I definitely look up to them all quite a lot. I know Laura a little bit, and I've always been a great admirer of all the various things she's been up to. And yeah, she's a fantastic trumpeter with a great sound, and I really, really like into her band Dinosaur, that's her main project at the moment. Absolutely. And also I'm aware of all the stuff she's been writing for other groups and things like that. Gwilym, I'm obviously a huge fan of. That trio album with Martin France and Phil Donkin.
Yeah, that's the first album, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, been a big fan of that for quite a while. In fact, I think I transcribed one of the songs off that and did it for one of my recitals at the Academy.
I know that he's playing at the festival this year with Pat Metheny.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's his latest gig, isn't it?
Yeah. Not too shabby, yeah?
Not too shabby at all, no. And Shabaka Hutchings, first saw him... In fact, actually, I've only seen him once at the Vortex with his band, the Sons of Kemet, which I was pretty blown away by. That was a really, really awesome gig. And really amazing to see this kind of crossover between jazz and dance music. Like, it was just... Like, the whole room was just up on the floor dancing away, and it was... Great to see a band with two drummers as well.
Lots of energy.
Why stop at one?
Absolutely. Well, Weather Report at one point was two drummers.
Exactly,
band,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
So there have been several bands that have done that. What are your plans for your time as new generation jazz artists? There are exciting commissions and different opportunities coming up, right?
I really want to just really try and present, you know, me, the bass player, and I know this is a jazz program, but not just me, a jazz musician, because I think I'm... bit more than that. Like, I play with a lot of musicians who wouldn't describe themselves as jazz musicians. Bring all the different areas of my musical life all together.
Your springboard can be jazz and can open many of the doorways for you.
Yeah.
But it's merely a springboard, as is classical music, because one would have thought with your upbringing you would have gone totally into classical music.
Sure.
So yeah. I don't think it's ever fair to sort of define one person as one thing in the limited way in which sometimes we look at what jazz is or classical music is or popular music is. So I think it's probably fitting that you have a wide berth, you know, and
sure.
a wide
yeah.
expressive palette,
mm.
you know. And there's a lot to include, let's face it.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear some more music now from you, Misha, with your band, recorded at the London Jazz Festival in 2016. Here's Matthew Hurd and Sam Rapley on saxophones, Liam Dunnicky on piano, Scott Chapman on drums, and their leader, bassist Misha Mulov Abado. And this is Circle Song.
Thank you.
you. That was called Circle Song. This next one is another slightly eccentric, silly one. It's called Gromit's Grand Outing, inspired by my favourite childhood movie, Wallace and Gromit. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
you. We've got one more song for you. Special thank you to these wonderful musicians. You've been listening to Liam Dunnicky on the piano, Sam Rapley on the tenor sax, Matthew Hearn on the alto sax, and holding it all together at the back, Scott Chapman on the drums. And a big thank you to everyone here at the South Bank and the London Jazz Festival and this jazz lineup stage for having us. This last song is called Hair of the Bop. Enjoy. Thank you.
the upbeat samba feeling of Hair of the Bop, ending that performance by my special guest Misha Mulov Abado and his group. Before that, we heard Gromit's grand outing, and opening that set was The Circle Song. Matthew Hurd was on alto saxophone, Sam Rapley was on tenor saxophone, Liam Dunnicky was on piano, Scott Chapman the drums, and composer and leader Misha Mulov Abado was on bass. Well, Misha makes quite a few appearances at this year's London Jazz Festival. On the 12th of November, he's at the Clapham Omnibus. He's guesting with Kath Halling Group, Australian singer. On the 15th of November, he's at the Green Note playing with the Tom Miller Quartet. And Misha and his group play on Thursday, the 16th of November at the Hampstead Arts Festival. On the 17th, he plays with Alice Savadsky's band at the Pizza Express. And on Saturday, the 18th of November, he plays once more at the Hampstead Arts Festival, this time guesting with his mum, Victoria Mulliver. Remember to listen to Geoffrey Smith's Jazz tonight at midnight. And Geoffrey will be featuring music from artists at the London Jazz Festival this year. And there's more from the festival with Thomas Stanko, featured on Jazz Now on Monday night at 11. And on next week's jazz lineup, Chris Potter is also featured from his performance at the London Jazz Festival. Thank you, Misha, so much for coming in and sharing your thoughts and insights. And enjoy the festival this year.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Thank you, Julian. And, of course, you can join Jazz Lineup again next week at the same time of 5 o'clock, as you just heard. Tonight's programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. And speaking of all things jazz... The way you
wear your hat. It's become an annual tradition to open the London Jazz Festival with a celebration of the jazz voice. This year, the Royal Festival Hall is hosting an astonishing range of vocalists, including Leanne Carroll, Misha Paris, and Seal. Join me, Andrew McGregor, for Jazz Voice from the opening night of the London Jazz Festival, available now on the BBC Radio 3 website.
And good evening, I'm Chris Barrow. Now it's time for Opera on 3. And as part of Radio 3's season Breaking Free, A Century of Russian Culture, we have a performance of Shostakovich's second and final opera. It's also one of seven of the operas featured in the V&A's brand new exhibition called Opera, Passion, Power and Politics, which explores the stories behind seven operatic premieres in seven cities. And here's Sarah Moore-Peach.
Nobody presses his lips to mine. Nobody tires me out with his passionate embrace. Those are the desperate words of Katerina, a woman stuck in a loveless marriage, appallingly treated by both her husband and father-in-law, who falls in love with a workman and takes fate into her own hands. She is the murderous but sympathetic heroine of Shostakovich's most celebrated opera, his so-called tragedy satire, Lady Macbeth of the Mtsensk district. Tonight, as part of the BBC's opera season, we're bringing you a production of Lady Macbeth from this year's Salzburg Festival, with Nina Stemmer as Katerina and the Vienna State Opera Orchestra, conducted by Maris Janssens. Now, the story surrounding Lady Macbeth is probably better known than the narrative story of the opera itself. In 1936, 2 years after its Leningrad premiere, Stalin himself came to a performance in Moscow and walked out before the final scene, then condemning Shostakovich in the newspaper Pravda and banning the opera completely. This was the single defining moment in Shostakovich's biography, and one that always gets told when we hear, for example, his fourth and fifth symphonies, which are from around the same time and intimately bound up with the way that Shostakovich navigated his personal and political situation in Russia. Joining me this evening is Dr. Anastasia Belina from the Royal College of Music. Welcome, Anastasia.
Thank you.
Is there any way that we can actually get away from the biography and the story surrounding Lady Macbeth and just appreciate the opera simply for a great piece of music? Or do you think it in itself is such a political statement that it has to be seen in its original context?
Well, I think it is both possible and impossible. When you are in the theatre, in the opera house, watching the opera, of course you get involved in the story itself. But as soon as you come away from it, you realise that it's completely bound up to Shostakovich's own history and his own life.
So how did he start writing it? I mean, it's based on a novel by Nikolai Leskov about this woman who ends up committing, in fact, several murders. Shostakovich only focuses on two of them. Why did he pick that, and how did he come to write the opera?